Hi everybody, I'm an alcoholic and my name's Terry Houlihan. I've been given my instructions, I'm not allowed to touch this chair. So I might get electrocuted, so I'm going to really try not to touch that chair. And I'm here because my sponsor called me up and told me that I was going to do this. So you really can't argue with her, so here I am. And they told me that I should talk till about 10 after. I don't know, we'll see. Oh, five after, even better. Okay, I can probably do five after. I'm an alcoholic and my name's Terry Houlihan. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was an expert on everything in the world. And the longer I'm sober, I'm not an expert on really anything other than what I need to do today to keep me sober. And when they asked me to talk about step two, I thought, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Except it is, because without step two, none of the rest of them can happen. And, you know, I struggled with it. I struggled with the God thing. I struggled with the higher power thing. I struggled with, you know, me being the higher power. And so, you know, I didn't really see kind of how I was going to, you know, give up all this control to something that I couldn't see, didn't believe in. Maybe it didn't believe in me. From my past experiences, it never, this being, whatever it was, never got me out of trouble. You know, today it's a little bit different, but the thing that I like about it now is that it says, is that we came to believe. And that's how it was for me, and it started out with me believing that you believed in a higher power. And I had a friend who called her higher power Madeline, and so I called mine Madeline for a while because the God word stuck right here. I couldn't do it, and it was a process for me. And you know, there's a chapter in the Big Book, chapter 4, We Agnostics, and it's really just about, it talks about me. It talks about me in there. I didn't know what I was when I got here. I didn't know if I was an agnostic. I didn't know if I was an atheist. I tried a bunch of different religions when I was a kid and nothing seemed to fit. So I was pretty sure that I just kind of had swept the whole idea right out of the way. And the other thing about that chapter is that in a few different places it specifically points out that there's an appendix in the back called Spiritual Experience. And I never read prefaces or forewords or appendices to any books. And then I read the Big Book and now I read everything. And the nice thing about that was you guys talked about your spiritual experiences. You guys talked about how you came to believe in a power greater than yourself. And I thought I had to know all this stuff up front. And I didn't want to ask any questions because I didn't want you to think I was stupid. And so when I finally read this spiritual experience appendix, and it talks about how, you know, I don't have to have this big overwhelming belief, that it can come to me a little bit at a time. It kind of let me off the hook a little bit, and I thought, okay, I'm not doing anything wrong. And because I figured out that I wanted to stay here, and I really wanted you guys to like me, but I just didn't want to ask any questions because I just didn't know that you guys really would understand. And so, you know, when you told me that I just had to have a little bit of willingness, and that was all that it was required, I thought maybe I can do that, you know. The powerlessness for me in step one took a long time, and it was because I didn't really understand what it meant. And then when it said in step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, I didn't know how that was going to work. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to be sane, because I can assure you that there are many days and hours and minutes that I am not. But what it did do is allow me to see the truth about my alcoholism, because I didn't know the truth about my alcoholism. And until I could look at step one thoroughly, step two didn't really have a lot of meaning for me. And it's the beginning of understanding that there's a solution for my alcoholism. And you know, I was sitting in the car and I was reading on my phone, the 12, I love cell phones. I was reading the 12 and 12 a little bit. And, you know, it talks about people like me, how, you know, we come in and, you know, we're all egocentric and, you know, we don't think we need a God and, you know, we're not going to do this and we're going to do it our own way. And I didn't really have a lot of success with that, I have to tell you. Trying to do it my own way got me drunk. And, And so when I finally was beat into a state of reasonableness and decided to really just try to do what you guys said, it was so much easier to just try to do what you guys said. I didn't have to be perfect with it. It talks about progress, not perfection. And my step two was progress. It took me a long time to really, you know, get that there was something out here that was greater than me. And I'd get a little nervous. I'd go a little ways and then I'd get nervous and I'd back up. I don't know if anybody else did that. But this whole idea of a higher power was so scary to me because I didn't feel worthy. I just didn't feel worthy that this whatever being that you guys wanted to call it was going to even bother with me. And I felt unworthy. And, you know, it just, I really struggled with it. I struggled with it for a long time. And I struggled with it long enough to get drunk a few times. And it doesn't require a lot of time. It doesn't require any action. It just requires willingness. And that's the thing about the first three steps. And really, you know, for me, they sort of all go together. And I've heard people say they do steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. And I don't know why they do. You know, I did step 2, and I don't, you know, we have other steps for what I do on a daily basis now. But, you know, when I really understood, when I came to believe that a power greater than me would solve my problem, because that's why I'm here, to have my problem solved, then it was easy. It was easy to say, okay, I can do this. I can let this go. I can stop being controlling. That also comes in degrees, and a lot of degrees. And you know, it's just a process, and it doesn't require perfection. And that's, you know, I work with a lot of new women. I'm working with a lot of new women at the House of Healing right now. And this is one of the steps that they really struggle with, and it's because they're like me. They had old ideas about what this higher power is supposed to be. And it's very simple. You can start wherever you're at. And that's the thing about God. And I say God because it gives people a general idea of what I'm talking about. But God will meet you wherever you are. So all you have to do is be willing. And you know, I heard that I don't know how many times before I actually heard it. And, you know, God did meet me where I was. And I wasn't very far along. And I was scared. I was really scared. I was scared to go through with the rest of the process. I was scared to let go of the old ideas that you guys told me I had to let go of. I was scared to do all those things. But when I read The Spiritual Experience in the back of the book, and it talked about people like me, you know, I don't need to see a burning bush. You know, my being willing, coming to believe, started with much smaller things. Things like, you know, I could get up on time in the morning, and I knew that really didn't have anything to do with me because I had no motivation, I had no desire to do anything in my life. And so, you know, getting a job, that didn't have anything to do with me. That, you know, everything that started to happen in my life that was good, I had come to believe that it was because of this higher power. And, you know, my life today is amazing, and it is because I have a very solid experience of that higher power. And that's what you guys shared with me. You guys shared your experiences of your higher power with me. And so I could take a little bit of yours and a little bit of yours and a little bit of yours and kind of merge them all together. And Beverly would say, write it down. Write down what you want your higher power to be. And I did that, and I started really small because I had so little faith in myself or my ability to make good choices or have good judgment. And so I started out with, you know, the standard, well, God is love, God is truth, God is forgiveness. And over time, it expanded to a really long list of things. And, you know, that the willingness that comes in that step is... It was a big relief for me. It was really a big relief to understand that I didn't have to believe what you guys believed. If I don't want to go to church, I don't have to go to church. If I don't want to read a certain book, I don't have to read a certain book. If I don't want to pray what you guys pray, I don't have to do that. And that was the best thing for me, that I don't have to do this any other way than whatever works for me. And I know people that at a lot of meetings, they don't say the Serenity Prayer, they don't say the Lord's Prayer. I love the Set-Aside Prayer, by the way. And you know what? It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. God doesn't care what we do or what we don't do or how we say it, as long as we're willing to reach out. And for me, that's what step two is. It's really just about the willingness to reach out and know that there's something bigger than me that can help me solve my problem. And I think that's it. Is that good? Okay. And do I still have to stand here? Oh, thanks. Wait, I don't have my keys. I can't run out anyway.
Thanks, Terry. So does anybody have any comments in the form of a question that they would like to ask Terry?
Jim, alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Thanks, Terry. I think you might have answered this question towards the end. But so if you're working with a new person and they're just not wanting to have anything to do with any kind of higher power, do you continue to work the steps, even though 3 says God, 5 says God, in hopes that, you know, their life is going to get better and continue to get better, and maybe there'll be a realization that maybe there's something greater than me out there?
Kind of I do, because, you know, the book is really clear that we need to keep moving. Staying on step one for a year doesn't cut it, because I'm a real alcoholic and I will die. And so I sort of keep moving, but still coming back to that, because, you know, when you're working with, and you know, a lot of these women now, they're young and they're just angry. They're really angry. And so they don't really want anything to do with any kind of a higher power at all. And, you know, they blame their higher power for the one they don't believe in for everything that's wrong in their life. And I get that. I say, all right, you know, when you get to step 3, that's just a decision to continue with the rest of the steps. So, you know, you can do that. But somewhere in there, you're going to have to take a look at the fact that, you know, you're going to have to surrender to this higher power thing. And you know, I'll point out little things here and there where I'll say, well, this is what happened to me this week. And I'll say, well, you know, do you think you did that all on your own? Or, you know, do you think it's a coincidence? Or, you know, do you think maybe this higher power that you don't believe in might have had something to do with it? And they come around. And I, you know, the first couple people that I sponsor, I chased them around, you know, stalked them and did all that. Followed them to make sure they went to meetings, and you know, and I really tried to shove this down their throat, and you know, that doesn't work. It didn't work for me. And so, you know, I just try to be gentle, and I also try to let them know that my higher power has a sense of humor, because that was important for me to know that this stuff is not all serious. You know, I take my program, I take my recovery seriously, but the rest of it, my higher power has a sense of humor, definitely, because, you know, here I am. Thanks. Does that answer it?
Okay. Hi, Terry. Diane Washi.
Hi, Diane.
We have the privilege of having the same sponsor, and I don't know if she said this to you, but she said it to me numerous times, that step 2 is hope. Don't you hope that your life could get better? Mm-hmm. Because it's out of control and a mess, or you wouldn't be here in the first place. But one of the things that Bev said to me that really rung my bell numerous times was that you're a control person. And look how messed up your life is with you in control. And if you want hope for your life to get better, you got to believe that there's not another human being, but a power greater than you that can do a better job. Has she said stuff like that to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Terry. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Are you still a literature person?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much for your service. I know I come out.
Thank you. Actually, I think Kathy might have... Oh, Diane did that.
Diane did that.
I do have 2,000 of them. I don't know if you need more. So.
Well, thank you. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Did you have any issues with sanity versus insanity when you first heard that step? Because I did.
I did. I didn't feel like I had ever been sane, so I didn't know how I was going to be restored to something that I never had. And I did struggle with that because I think all alcoholics are insane. You know, at least, you know, for a period of our lives, I probably always was, and sometimes still am. I did struggle with that because I thought that it meant, you know, to me it meant that I needed to have therapy or I needed to, you know, be on medication or I needed to do something to cure this insanity, and I didn't see how a higher power was ever going to do that. And then I did finally understand that it means that I understand step one, and I understand the truth about my alcoholism. And when I think it was Mary was reading the How It Works, or whoever was reading How It Works, and I always listen to the readings. And it says, you know, the A, B, and C, and B says, probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And I thought, well, that's pretty much step two. I don't know when I figured that out. Probably somebody told me. Probably no human power could relieve my alcoholism, and probably no human power can relieve my insanity. And so it's got to be some other power that's greater than me. Does that answer it?
Terry.
Yes.
I have not had the opportunity to really hear you speak because you've moved way over in the foreign land.
Harbor Creek, yeah.
Yeah. But just back in the day, you brought me back when you were talking, when I heard your lead. I think I only heard your lead once, but you just touched my heart. So, like, how could she have gone through all of that? And so I'm really getting you tonight about what you're saying about a higher power and how it just comes in increments, mm-hmm. and it's such a journey. And what a beautiful, you just said it so beautifully. I always did love how you talked. I would always sit on the edge of my seat to hear you talk, went back when you used to live on this side of town. And I just want to let you know I really miss you. I miss hearing what you have to say. And, you know, God love your heart, because that was just beautiful what you just had to say. I just had to let you know that. But I miss you.
Thank you. I miss you too.
Hi, Terry.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
All I want to ask is, how did you let go of the idea that you were the higher power?
Well, I had a lot of bruises on my forehead from beating against the wall. And, you know, and I had, I don't know, hundreds of conversations with Beverly about this. And she said, you know, all the things that Diane just said, you know, you want to be happy, you know, you got to do this, you got to let go. And it was hard because I didn't know. For me, I didn't know what would happen. If I let go, what would happen? There was such fear that this being, whatever it was, wouldn't actually catch me, that I would fall, that I would have proved myself right, that there really wasn't a higher power, and that this higher power would let me fall. And it was a process, too. It was a little bit at a time, because you know, I've done a lot of jobs where I've been a supervisor, and so, you know, I'm used to telling people what to do and running the show. And if you ask my boyfriend, he'll tell you I still do that. It's a lot easier. My life is a lot easier when I just let go. And one of the things they used to say to me is, if it's in your hula hoop, it's your business, and if it isn't, then it isn't. And so I had to use that hula hoop analogy for myself a lot and figure out, and you can't drag people underneath it. Little kids and pets, but that's it.
Okay.
It's a process. It was a process. It was practice. It was I'd let go of a little bit, and that worked. And then I'd let go of a little bit more. But it was a process. It's funny because I think for me, the first three steps were the hardest, and they don't even require any action, but they were for me the hardest. So, you know, once I figured out that, you know, I got that part figured out, the rest of it I was willing to do.
Yeah. Okay. I knew you when you first come in. You sure have changed.
Me and God.
God's worked in your life. I had a little experience in my life about 3 months ago, to where I got diagnosed with this disease I got, and I couldn't drive anymore. I couldn't get around. I couldn't do nothing. I got disgusted with life. I decided I'd take my life, and of course I didn't do that, but that's what I was going to do until my granddaughter come along and she started taking me to meetings, and the guys in my area started a meeting at my house, and we're getting along fine now. I know why God put me in this situation, because of her, to take me around and for me to show her where to go and what to do. It helps. We talk once in a while, but a higher power is important. I let go of it there about 3 months ago, and I decided that I would run the show, and it didn't work very well. So I still believe in a higher power. Once in a while we don't, but when we don't, we know it, and we got to get back to it. And today I'm back to it. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I'm pretty sure there's some old-timers around that told me that, you know, I had phone numbers, and if I needed a ride, I should probably pick up the phone and call people if I needed a ride. Yeah, I'm an old-timer now. I can say that.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hi, I'm Sandy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sandy.
And for me, step two was one of those steps. Step two was the step that really made a difference in my life, because I realized that I didn't have to do it all on my own, first of all, and that it was really, really important to me that all I had to do was call upon a higher power, because I always, you know, believed in God. It's a way different belief that I have now, as opposed to, you know, when I was out using and drinking. For me, step two was, you know, the way I took it was all I really had to do was be willing, and that really took a big weight off of my shoulders. Just to know that, you know what, I did not have to, I wasn't going to find what I needed at therapist's offices, reading self-help books, which I still love, by the way, you know, because I think, you know, quite possibly they prepared me for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I love the steps. So after years and years and years of trying to do it on my own, here I'm reading it and I'm actually absorbing, you know, that all I really have to do is be willing and to be open and to be honest. And, you know, all of that doesn't come all at once, you know, because I think sometimes it's hard to trust somebody to, you know, really open up and be honest and really, you know, to trust ourselves. So for me, step two is, you know, even though it's not an action step, it was just really kind of the first crack in my armor.
Thank you.
And that's not a question. I just thought I'd speak on it.
Okay.
At least you admitted it. Anybody else?
Hi, Terry. I'm still Bridget, and I'm still an alcoholic. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Did you have any fear thinking that, okay, I have to give up the power, I have to rely on something or someone greater, and it's not something I can do myself? Did you have any fear as you move forward in with that step?
Absolutely. And I didn't know that it was fear. I just knew that I was afraid of everything. I didn't think I was afraid of anything. And so for me, it was just a ball of something, some ball of uncomfortableness in my gut. But I was terrified. I didn't, my experiences with a higher power were watching other people and, the people across the street were devout Catholics, and they went to church every Sunday, and they did whatever Catholics do, and probably still do. I don't know. I'm not Catholic, which I love Catholics. Don't get me wrong. But on Saturday nights, they would get drunk and they would, fight, and so that was what I thought a higher power was. I looked at all these things, and chapter 4 talks about it. The missing the beauty of some of the trees because of the ugliness of the forest, and I looked at the ugliness of the forest and said, I can't do this. I'm not. I'm better off. I mean, I know my life is a mess, and I know I'm not doing a good job, but I really don't know that I want to turn it over to something else that might be even worse. And that was kind of, that was kind of my impression of it. And it did come in little bits at a time. It was a little bit at a time. And a lot of it really, it was Beverly. It was, it was Joe. It was Ebert. It was, all those guys saying, you know what, just stop overcomplicating it. Just keep it simple. Just do this and just be willing. And it was a process. That probably was the longest process for me, was just getting step two, to where I really was absolutely willing. And I was beat into a state of reasonableness where it was kind of like, okay, you're backed in a corner now, and you're playing along and you're doing a little bit and a little bit. What are you going to do? And I was terrified. I can't remember the last time I was afraid. It's been a long time, many, many years. And I know that started with step two. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic. That did answer my question. But just to share with you, I am Irish Catholic, and I got drunk Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. This is a little off the subject, but it's a question. Your name is Houlihan, and you're not Catholic.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing.
I'm the only one I know, too. It is.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for sharing.
Hi, Darryl.
Earlier, you were saying that when you did step two, you didn't feel that you needed to do it again, and that you used other steps to help you restore, I'm assuming, your sanity when you're obsessing or trying to control something. So could you elaborate a little bit more on that if you're not using step two?
Sure. And like I said, I hear people say that, I do step one, two, and three every day. I do 10, 11, and 12 every day. And for me, that's where, step 11 with my prayer and meditation, if I'm, waffling about something, if I'm thinking I want to control something, if I'm thinking that, I'll do a better job running this than God will, just, you can take care of all this and I'll take care of this. It's, for me, it's step 11. That's where it comes into now, is step 11, because it's just a deeper, I guess, sort of experience than what step two was for me. And that's just for me personally.
Hi, Terry. I'm Maureen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi there.
I just wanted to ask if you recall, like, when, if you could think of an experience that you had that you knew for sure that you were, like, restored to sanity, like an experience, like a God moment experience that you could share.
Can I get back to you on that?
When that happened?
I guess it really was, well, yeah, but can I get back to you on that? I guess when I woke up one morning and I wasn't afraid, because all of that, you know, all of that unwillingness and all of that, you know, not wanting to turn my will and my life over, I was just full of fear. And one day I woke up and I wasn't afraid. And I can't tell you when that was. I just know that I woke up and I wasn't afraid. And Beverly would say to me, you know, one of these days you're going to get up and you're going to put your feet on the floor and you're just going to know. And that's how it was for me. I just knew.
That's why I asked. Thank you.
Sure. I've got a smart sponsor.
Anyone else?
Closing remarks
are good.
Thanks, Terry, for coming out. I really appreciate it. Anyway, you talked about it when you were earlier when you were talking about people who you sponsored that were the defiant ones, and that they came here with a scorecard. What I like about the second step, it talks about Santa Claus, so it always has some, you know, where we ask, we come into this program, and we have this list for God, or like greedy kids want things, a list for Santa Claus. Yeah. And so how do you deal with that when somebody goes, well, and I got this, and I need this, and I have this, and I have this problem, and I need rent, and I have children, and I want you.
Well, sometimes I can be a bit of a jerk. So I just tell them that they haven't really done anything to deserve that. And it usually shuts them up long enough for me to give them another answer, which is something like, you know, if you got all those things right now, you wouldn't be able to handle them. They're too much. And I remember people saying to me when I was a year, I want 20 years sober at a year, and they would say to me, you couldn't handle it. And I had no idea what they meant. I know what they meant. I couldn't have handled the life that I have today at 1 year sober because it's too big. And so that's what I say to them. You know, you're not ready for that. This is where you got to learn to trust. And if you can't trust God, trust that I do. Am I done?
I think you're done. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.